Shalom, and welcome to Bible Stories as Blueprints of the Soul, your Biblical Hebrew podcast. And here we are. Asafa medaberet, the language speaks, but what about its speaking? Where do we find something like that, if ever? Within the spoken words, in what which is spoken. In those, the speaking is not complete. The speaking does not stop in what or in what which is spoken. The speaking remains concealed in the spoken. In the spoken, the speaking concise or collects or enters the speaking the way it continues and what it is continuously in it, in brackets, the noun. Its continuity from being most of the times, many, many, many times, that the spoken as speaking is that was and no longer, and it's gone. If we need to look or to search for the speaking of the language in the spoken words, or the things which are being spoken about, it is good if instead of taking care of what is strictly speaking in this way or the other, we shall find the spoken in its purity. Spoken in its purity. It is the same spoken that in it the speech is complete, which is characterizing the spoken. It is in the beginning of the Torah or theory. It's not clear because it said Torah. Torah might be Torah or also theory. In the beginning of all beginnings. Poem or a song is a pure spoken. We shall have to leave this sentence for a while in an abstract or naked claim. We can do that if it will be successful, if we shall manage to hear from the song the spoken in its purity. But what kind of a song or a poem we shall ask that it will be spoken to us? Here we are left with only one choice. But this one is protected from being rigid. How? While what is destined to us is prepared to us for a while, whenever we shall ponder after the spoken or the speech of the language. According to this link, and meaning connecting the speaking into language and not to the man, not to human, we shall choose as a spoken in its purity one song or one poem which more than other songs or poem can help us in our steps in the encountering, the first encountering that what is it that turns this link into accuracy. We hear the spoken. The song or the poem carries the title Winter Evening. And now there is a translation here of a German poem. The translation here is to Hebrew, so I translated, it was translated from German to Hebrew, and now I translated it live from Hebrew to English. Winter evening. Snow is falling against the window flakes. The evening time bells are echoing, long winded. The table is set and ready for the many, and the house is extraordinary organized. To the gates in the lanes of darkness will come not one from the journeys, from the wanderings. In a blooming yellow, in blooming blooms the tree of grace. From the cold nectar of the earth. In silence, a wanderer enters. A stony, or let's say, a pain, fossil, the entrance of the house. This is the poem that Heidegger finds as a link here, and he read this with us. This is a translation in a parallel page. Now this is page 20. On page 21, parallel, this is the original German poem. There are two lines that I see in the next page. There on the table is shining. Beautiful, pure light from wine and a piece of bread. Now there's like two lines that he writes. The two last lines of the second verse and the third verse are in the first version of the poem. This is a poem by Georg Tarkel. Yes. Now this is what says Heidegger about the poem. Three short verses is the poem. Their rhythm and their rhymes we can define accurately according to meter, how do you say, patterns and poetical. Those. This is how he looks at the poem. Let's not continue because he goes into the poem. He says that the poem stands because usually what happens, I'll stop reading and I will go into it. Usually what comes to us when we are reading poems or songs and the name of the writer appears next to it, there's an automatic link that says this poem or this song belongs to this, so to speak, persona, this name, it doesn't matter who or she, this is what he or she writes, it's their writing. And it belongs to them like it was like a matter. Yes, like he has a bag, she has a house, and so on. She has a bicycle, he has a car, yes, he has a phone, and so on. This is what the brain does, connects all the time and says this belongs to that, like there's like two nouns in a way. But Heidegger says something else here between the stumbling and falling of the translation. It is quite simple. What he says is that the poem, and now he just focuses on this poem, but he wants to say something else. The poem stands for itself or appears as a consequence of languishing being spoken all the time from the source, from the infinite consciousness, regardless of whom does the poem appear through. In this case, this is a persona that the poem went through. He's like a flute. It doesn't matter even what his name is. What he is trying to say, what Heidegger Martin is trying to say, that poetry is the source. Now, what we do when we read a poem, who wrote it, and we make this link, it belongs, it's part of the one who wrote it, and he says it regardless, this is the source of the truth. It doesn't matter through which gate the poem was coming. It's completely irrelevant. Because whatever, you know, in our times there's a copyright about everything, even for a poem, there is a little, forum that from time to time I read in Hebrew, it's about poetry, writing, surveying books and so. But if someone writes two lines, immediately you will find copyright by such and such, the day, the time, the second, the hour, and so. It's ridiculous. So what Heidegger says here, that poem or poetry is the source of truth. Before there is a man, in a way, that claims that he is a writer, poet or poetess, the poem, the poetry exists, the poeting is coming all the time. And the poeting is a rivering. It just flows all the time, regardless what, who wrote, because this is how people speak. He is a great poet. She is a great poetess. And they link it. It's like their property. Now there's a special law called spiritual property. Yes. But it's just ridiculous because it's a bias. The poem or the songs or the singing is the source of sources, like Song of Songs. We call it the Song of Solomon. This is the source of, this is how the language find its way to arrive to space and time from the infinite. So this is the truth. This is the bare truth. And it doesn't need a speaker. It doesn't need a singer. It's just singing. It's just poeting. It's just rivering. It's endless or infinite rivering. This is just an example that he brings here, Heidegger, as an example for poeting, infinite poeting. Because in a way, the language manages to bring through existence or existing, the being as existing, without property. What do I mean without property? Without linking it to, usually when we see a house, so the house belongs to the living stones. Or the gardens, it's the garden of Mr. Smith. or the orange tree or any kind of tree, the gardener, we just, split reality, distribute reality into shreds, into pieces, and everybody's so scattered and alone and confused. But in this poem, the poeting manages to bring not even images, how it is, without shredding reality into pieces, into a mosaic, without, there is a beautiful game that the children are all the time playing in Christmas. They, when like different parts they put together, the word does not, puzzle, yes? Usually people look at reality as a puzzle, because what we can catch, this is what the eyes are catching and what the brains translate or interpret to us is like shreds of reality, pieces like puzzles. And we are like great detectives. We are detectives. We are select. And we have to put the pieces together to create the complete picture, because without us, as a agents of truth, that the picture of the world will not stand as unity. Of course, it's rubbish. And what Heidegger tries to say, that here the poem, and you might read it in German later, in English, it has many, many translations, also in Hebrew, this is one of them. The poeting here manages to bring a complete life, or living, ing, without distributing it, without cutting it, without translating it, without saying this is his house, this is the table, this is wanderer. It's anonymous. It's anonymous, and it's unity. This is the source of life. There aren't any walls. There aren't interpretation. Is as life as is, without nationalizing it, annexating it, demanding ownership on it, and so on and so forth. It is purely poetry. He calls it naked or abstract, without dressing it, without putting covers on it, without claiming this is the coat of, this is how he wrote it, this is what he called naked. What he says naked, it means, like we say in English, the bare truth. Without trying to be politically correct and so on, what fits the time like a fashion. This is the bare truth. This is why I call it bare. The language is bare, without anyone claiming ownership on the language or how you should be, the language should be spoken. Because what happens, good afternoon, Abigail, we're so happy to see you, happy new year to all. What happens is during the times there is a degradation. People say, come and say, under the umbrella of politically correct, no, you cannot say this word. Now the times are different. You should use those and those words. Those words are off the table. You can use only those words. You might harm whatever, minorities and... But this is the bare truth. This is what Heidegger says. The language exists without people putting it into laundry machine, try to wash out, yes, what it's not comfortable for them for the moment. Because all the time people are feeling discomfort with what is happening. They want to position themselves as nouns, as kings, as queens, as controlling life, so something is not fitting to them. This is the tree of knowledge. So they cut part of the language, they hide it under the floor or above, you know, and in the attic. It does not fit. So you cut, she's, he, he's, them, whatever, yes? And this is like politicizing the language, interfering, claiming ownership on the language, tells someone or some communities what to think, how to think, printing all kinds of slogans, all kinds of policies. This is abused language. This is not the source. This is what Heidegger tries to say here. Yes? Because whatever happens is when language is here, people understand they can use the language to command, to control, as a means of communication. Yes, and like people are writing now commands as programmer. You can say, write this line beneath this line, and it the software just listens and submit. So Heidegger tries to say there is a source of language which is pure, which cannot be abused by people living here in time and space, regardless of the political scenarios or setup which are happening at the moment. It is pure, it is truth, and it's undivided. There is a beautiful, saying in Aramaic about the language, infinite. They say in Aramaic, he in English is third person singular, the hidden. He chiyuto ugramei echad, meaning echad ochad, one, meaning the infinite, its liveliness and its essence is one. You cannot separate them. Yes? It's undivided. It's impossible to divide. What we experience, Happy New Year, Fernando. We're so happy to see you here. We were reading from Martin Heidegger. He was quoting a German poem. It was translated in the book to Hebrew. So I read it from the Hebrew, translated into English, and now Heidegger speaks about the poem as a bare truth or poetry or poeting itself that comes from the source, that says the bare truth without any poet claiming ownership on it. Because poetry speaks the bare truth. And there is a saying in Aramaic, I read it today, and it always appears from time to time in the book of Zohar, because we, the brain cannot conceive unity. There's all the time divisions and conflict and yesterday and tomorrow and he and me and she and the world and me and so on and so forth. But many, many times, the book of Zohar says, and I will say in Aramaic and I'll translate it, who, meaning he, the infinite, chiyuto, his liveliness or livingness, ugomoi, and its essencing is one. There is no separation. What the impressions that we have all the time is like fragmented reality. And as I mentioned before, now we need agents, and we nominate, how do you say, we crown ourselves as agents of reality, and we put things together, and we put the puzzle of broken life together, that it will make sense. And so what Martin Heidegger says about this song or this singing, or in generally about singing is before us, like Song of Songs, Shir HaShirim. It doesn't need a gatekeeper. It doesn't need a poet. Yes, that clay. It doesn't need a name. It's just poeting all the time, and the song or the singing is standing undivided. This is why Heidegger calls it a bare truth. Of course, in his book, he mentions, so to speak, the name of the writer. So for the, this is how people speak, but he just gives it an example that the song is before any claiming, meaning the infinite, his liveliness and its essencing, existing as one. There is no distribution, because this is what we were reading all the time about the tree. Yes, house. There is no the house of Mr. Smith or the garden of Mr. Johnson. This, what happens when we speak usually, or there's all the time people claiming ownership. The house of the Johnsons, the car of Mr. Robin, and so Mr. Robin's car, Mr. Robin's children, and so this is how everything is like glue in a very artificial way. And this is in a way completely distributing reality, cutting it into pieces and creating a false field of references because it's not true. So let's read again. I'll try to translate now again. You can find the poem in your own language, in German, translated to English, wherever you want. Let's read it again. And this is just how Heidegger sees, in a way, the source is speaking. And why does he bring the poem here? To say something very, very elaborate, that the language now is speaking without claiming. In a way, the language does not need us as gatekeepers, because what happens, people claiming, I'm the author, I'm the writer, spiritual, copyright or so. And Heidegger says the singing is the source and it doesn't need any gatekeeper to let it in. It just is. And let's read it again. This is page 18. You read, and now we move to 20. Yes. This is the name of the poem. Again, it's translation of translation. So German to Hebrew, now to English. It's a triangle reading. You can find the poem and whatever you feel. Erev Choref. Winter evening. Snow just falls against the window, flakes. The evening bells are echoing, long-winded. The table is set and ready for the many. And the house? Excellently organized. To the gates, in the alleys of darkness, will come not one from wandering. In gold blooms the tree of graces, of grace, from the cold nectar of the ground. In silence, a wanderer enters, a pain fossilizes the threshold. There on the table, illuminating pure light from wine and slice of bread. So, what Heidegger is trying to tell us. This poem is an example for pure poeting. There is no distributing in it. The whole poem is one unity. There is no distribution, because what usually people say when, just an example, I translate you now from Hebrew to English, how people see it, very subjective poetry. Yes, there is a song called, there was a poet here living in the beginning of the 20th century as a pioneer. Her name was Rachel Blumstein. And she has a poem called Only About Myself I Knew How to Tell. Rak al atzmi. Again, Fernando was reading the article about atzmi, myself. And the title of the poem is Rak al atzmi lesaper yadati. Only about myself I learn how to tell. Rak al atzmi lesaper yadati. Excellent. Only about myself I learn how to tell. Tzar olami ke'olam nemala. My world is narrow as a world of an ant. Gam masai amasti kamoha. Also my burden I carried like her, like it, like the ant. Rav v'chaved miktefi hadala. Multiple and heavier than my poor shoulder. This is only the beginning. But you see, this is a completely different song. It's about Rachel. It's funny because her name is Rachel, and we were sharing many times that a tree of knowledge is called Rachel. So you see, it's very, very subjective. Rak al atzmi, only about myself. And again, weighing, yes, my narrowness against the ant's narrowness, like if there are two. This is a completely different take. Here in the poem that we were reading about, how do you say, winter evening, there is no distribution. There is no separation between the voice. Yes, like she said, only about myself I know. No, like there's a world and there is me. No, here in this poem, evening, winter evening, there is no distribution. If you notice, it doesn't matter now which language you're reading the poem, which translation, or even in German, it doesn't matter. There is no distribution. This is poor poetry. Therefore, Heidegger says it doesn't matter who wrote it. The gatekeeper through which, yes, the song enter. It doesn't matter because it's one piece. It's undivided. This is what makes the, not even the picture, it's the picturing is alive all the time. You cannot break it. You cannot cut it. This is the truth. Because he was saying, before we were reading the poem, that the language or the spoken brings also a secret within it. Not just the revealed word or the revealed spoken, but in the spoken there's also a concealment. This is like absurd, but this is how it is. It's like when we were reading. Yes, of course. There is, of course, I will make a picture and I'll put the German and the Hebrew as it comes in the book. Of course, definitely. So he was saying few moments before he is reading the poem, he was saying the language as it is spoken and appears, the spoken speech also hides reality in it. It's not just revealing reality, it's also hiding a reality in it. And this is what we are coming with. We are, the same idea is being expressed in the book of Esther. Vashti is invited to come to the banquet naked. But it's like infinite. Infinite is naked. Infinite cannot appear in the finite. Therefore, she is refusing. Not because what people think, because it's impossible for the infinite to come in the finite. But only when there's a hidden gown on it. This is why Esther is entering the Megillah or the scroll. Only with a hidden form, the language. In a way, the language is comes to us spoken in disguise. In this, how do you say? In disguise, yes? Through a mask. Not the language comes and reveals. The language as it appears, in its appearance, it is hiding something else. So every appearance is also disappearance. This is what he's saying here. Yes. Hiding it yes, excellent. It's revealing and hiding reality at the same time. Can we continue? Do you have any questions that you would like to ask? Please feel free, Abigail, Giovanni, Fernando, whatever comes to you. You can also unmute and speak, Abigail, Fernando, Giovanni. It's in New Year's, 26, the year of being. Yes. Yes, Fernando.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, yes, good morning, how do you do?
I'm fine, Happy New Year, Eti. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Good to be here. I just bring one point to the, I was thinking about this. It's difficult to express, but I would like to listen from you. It is, you said that the poem reveals and hide at the same time, right? Because it reveals, the poet has this ability to reveal the reality. But at the same time, it is just a point of view. It is an experience at the same time, you know. It is not the wholeness. It's because it is impossible. Is that right? This is the idea?
We were reading a text before the poem, and in the text before the poem, he was opening a possibility to say that the language, when the spoken language is appearing, it also hides in appearance higher reality. This is what he was saying.
Yes.
Pure reality. And then mm-hmm. he just gave forward and he was reading the poem, the German poem. Yes. What he says is that the singing or the poeting comes from the source. And regardless of our opinions or relating the poem or connecting the poem to a poet, certain poem, poet persona, name and so, the song or the singing is pure truth. It is before the language is used as a mean of communication.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, there are two languages.
Mm-hmm.
The language as a true, Emet, Sfat Emet, true. This is the tree of life. And there's another language which is used to, we are using it as communication. Go see the truck brings 10 pairs of shoes from the truck to the shop and put it on the shelves that the customers will come and buy, measure. And so this is when we are using the language for commerce, for interest. So this is the language, which is a mean of communication. This is a lower level. This is the tree of knowledge, is a lower level. And there's a higher level of the truth, which is singing. It doesn't appears as like a puzzle here. It's singing. It doesn't have arms and legs. It doesn't have organs. This is what he's trying to say. Because language is used in our times, there is a sense it's not politically correct. How do you say, times bring with them different fashions, and now you cannot use certain words. You have to, they call it to laundry the language, because certain terms and words cannot be used because it's harming people, or how do you say, shadowing the owner, and so so you cannot say. And there's like they're bending the truth, bending that it will fit a political configuration. Not about this we're speaking. He says, we are speaking about that the infinite, his liveliness and his essencing, which is streaming, is one. There is no distribution whatsoever. Therefore, in a way, the name, so to speak, of the poet, so to speak, through which the poem arrived or arriving, it doesn't matter at all. This is what he's saying.
I agree. It connects people to reality, right?
Yes, undistributed reality, because what happens is that we perceive reality as separated reality all the time. But here there is no separation in the poem.
In the music as well. In the music.
Yes.
May I share one experience from this morning?
Sure. Yeah, of course. So happy.
For a reason. It doesn't matter in the context, but I was asked to see a Beatles video, you know, like, please put a music from the Beatles, like in the first hour in the morning. And I put on television Hey Jude from one of the last concerts that they were in the studio playing, and with a bunch of people watching. And so they were almost finishing the band and they were playing Hey Jude. And we had that well-known part that is just na 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 na, right?
Yes.
There is no lyric, it is just na 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 na, you know, Hey Jude.
Yes.
And I was watching that, and you know, the crowd get up and it's allowed to go to the stage around the Beatles, and everybody's singing just this part. And I was commoved. I was moved watching, because everybody was touched. You know, like an old man, a young children, different ages and different kind of people were like. Everybody was moved with this na 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 na. Because everybody was in unity, you know, it was like singing the same song together, and it means a lot everybody has its own experience with the song. You have your experience with the song. I have my experience with the song. But in a way, in a certain level, it's not more a personal experience. It's a unity. It brings everybody in unity. You know, it doesn't matter your experience. It is just a song. It is a song playing by everybody. I was quite moved this morning watching this scene. Really, you know, I don't know why, but yes. It came. And I kind of agree, because with a speech, it's quite difficult to get on this unity, you know, to everybody kind of vibrating the same note, in the same ground. Oh, just to share it.
It's beautiful. This is also why people like participating in concerts. I don't know if today, with all the means of communication, people still visiting concerts and so. Yes, but you can see when there's like former concerts, electricity moves through the community, and you see in this singing, it doesn't matter who is on stage, who's holding the guitar, microphone, or next to the stage, or on the tribune, just singing. It's just a song that holds, it's not even holding, this is how it is.
Yes,
is it?
Yes. Yes. Von Franz used to say that these concerts are like are the modern religion experience.
Yeah. Before religion, this also men's made the religion of it. This is singing, just singing. Yes. And it's beautiful. Any questions, sharing, Joanny, Abigail, Fernando? Religion is quite, is young, depends of when we look at it. It's quite young in relation to the life here on so it's also a frame of reference. If there aren't any questions, I would like to wish each and every one of you a wonderful new happy year. And we hope to see you again. So happy new year to all, Abigail, Joanny, Fernando, and friends, listeners. Wishing you all the best, and see you soon.
Thank you. You're most welcome. Thank you, friends. Happy new year.
Thank you for listening to Bible Stories as Blueprints of the Soul, your Biblical Hebrew podcast. For more information, articles, videos, and interactive classes, please visit hebrew.learnoutlive.com or join our YouTube channel. Shalom v'chol tov. Thank you.